Vectus Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
We got musical royalty in. Okay, you're like the advanced version of Beyonce.
Apparently today.
So, welcome, Beth Brookfield. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Obviously, you've had a wonderful morning.
Yes, I have. Very busy. Just doing the TED Talk, which is just insane. We had a lovely evening yesterday where we got to kind of meet the speakers and got to kind of have an evening together. But yeah, today's just been go. It's been great.
But you were picked to do the song?
Yes.
How did this work out?
Yeah, so I was approached through Platform One College of Music. That's where I study. And they were looking for a singer-songwriter to write a song around the title, If Not Now, When? And I was chosen, and I had a meeting with Dale and everyone, and they kind of played what I had written so far, and they loved it, luckily enough. So yeah, that kind of went from there, really.
Fantastic. So how did it go just now? You obviously performed the song.
Yes, it went well, thank you. Yeah, it went really well.
And now, because it's a massive platform, does that mean that's going to be like a huge hit?
Well, I hope so. I hope that it kind of brings attention to... I've got 3 singles out at the moment, so I'm, you know, obviously already doing my own thing. So I hope that it just brings a bit more attention to that and kind of a bit more support, grow my fan base, and that people kind of get behind the TED Talk and get behind me and what everybody else is doing today. So that's what I'm hoping for anyway.
I mean, you're an incredible talent anyway, but this is a huge platform for you to be on. And all of
Thank
a sudden,
you.
This time, you know, tomorrow, you could be like, you know, in the midweek charts, I suspect, couldn't you?
I don't know. That would be amazing. I would hope so. I mean, to get asked to do a TED Talk at 19 is a pretty big deal. I was kind of, I don't know, I didn't really expect it to happen. Like, when they said, you know, do you want to do a TED Talk? I was like, yeah, of course. I was like, it won't be that. It won't happen or something. But no, here we are today, and I've done a TED Talk at 19. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I mean, how, we've got loads of questions that I've got to ask, and I've got a load of questions that a young man was prepared to ask, but
okay.
He had to go back to school.
Right.
So there is one killer question right at the very end.
Okay.
I think everyone else in the green room knows what the question is.
Everybody knows what the question is apart from me, so I'm very...
All right. Well, look, if he was here now, he would ask this question.
Okay.
What advice could you give for a young musician starting their career on the island?
Okay. I would say just start. I would say... do what makes you happy. When I first started out, I was still in school, and I just thought, you know, no, this is what I want to do. It's what I've been wanting to do for ages. And just start. Just do anything you can. Find gigs. Learn the guitar. Learn an instrument. If you're a singer, or if you just play an instrument, start songwriting. Start networking, because the island has a really, really good community that I don't think some people realise. And as soon as you start, you have that drive, that passion. Just go for it, and I think you will see the rewards if you're passionate enough.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice. Thank you for that. And I say, it's we've got so much talent here on the island.
Definitely, yeah.
And I'm guessing it's the stretch of water that holds things up now and again.
Yeah, I think with social media, though, and with the internet, though, it's really kind of a great way to link everybody together. I mean, we've seen Wet Leg, Coach Party, Lauren Hibbard, who obviously all went to Platform One and went to college, the same college as me, so, and they're doing amazingly. So to kind of see that happen, I really hope to kind of be on that list one day, and, you know, to kind
Brilliant.
Of be a success.
If you weren't a singer, what would you do?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I'd like to think that I would be, like, you know, still doing something music, but I wanted to do architecture when I was in school. I wanted to be an architect, but I don't think I would have been very good at that. I'm not very good at maths.
Never say never. I mean, you know, the TEDx experience is, I'm guessing you're going to get inspiration from all kinds of roles and jobs and so on. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, what has inspired you most? Have you got an idea like, wow, maybe I could do that?
Oh, I don't really know. I was speaking to the speakers last night, and I was saying that I'm the youngest one kind of in the team, if you want to say that. And I was saying I'm inspired by all the speakers. Their talks
Right.
are inspiring me. Yeah, I don't really know what I would be doing. I just kind of, their talks, listening to their talks is giving me motivation to keep on doing what I want to do and reach my goals, really.
Yeah, Will Flinch, when you said that you were the youngest in the team, because, you know, he's got a little baby face over there, so...
No!
And
2 years apart, 2 years apart.
All right, okay, you've checked that out then, have you?
We've spoken about it.
All right. Another question from Toby.
Okay.
And the question is, in these current times of, the COVID times, and I know we're coming out, how difficult is it to keep your voice healthy?
Yeah, I assume that is quite hard, actually. I did have COVID, and I noticed a massive difference after I had it. I was kind of like, I had to get used to breathing again. Obviously, breathing is very important with singing, and kind of getting, luckily I was okay whilst I had COVID, but I did notice a slight difference. But in like COVID times, obviously gigging less, you kind of get a bit out of practice. So when that kind of started up again, I was like, oh, okay, it's a bit weird to actually be on stage and not just recording a video on YouTube. So yeah, just kind of getting back into that, really.
Brilliant. And one final question. This is the question.
This is the big. Okay.
He was really upset that he couldn't ask.
Right.
Because he was choked that he had to go back to school. He was dragged out of there kicking and screaming. He really was. I finished at 12:15. Want to go out for lunch after?
Bless him. I think maybe a bit too old. I like the courage, though. I like the courage. It's very funny. That is a great question.
Okay. I'd like to bring in Will Perry at this point. Now, Will's only 21, by all accounts. Is that right, Will?
Will's still laughing about the previous question.
That was a good question, wasn't it?
I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed by his courage. Yeah, I'm 21.
I mean, you've crammed a lot in already.
What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, I mean, there you are. You're a Paralympian, and you come in here, the Isle of Wight. That's a lot to cram in.
Oh yeah, it's it's all part of being an athlete. You get obviously up to a certain level, you just focus on the swimming, and then obviously once you get to a certain level, you have to take up these extra opportunities to expand yourself as a name, to share your story, whether that be a story of success, a story of determination. And for me, I was always taught to take up every opportunity that's presented to you. And I've known the island for a very long time. I don't live here, but I've come here as a very young boy. We've got a small house on the island that we do a lot of sailing with. It's a very familiar place to me, and I absolutely love it.
How focused do you have to be when you're in the zone for a swimming gala contest, call it what you will, Paralympics and so on? How many times do you have to swim every single day, and how long do you have to swim for?
So it's an incredibly tough regime. It's I think 19-20 hours a week, plus gym, physio, recovery, all the other mumble jumble that goes along with it. But I've had to have special permission to be here. I've missed two sessions, which is actually quite a bit. They say for every session you miss, it takes two to catch up on the fitness that you've lost. So normally I'm very focused. It is my life. It is my job. I absolutely adore it. It can be very challenging at times. So tomorrow morning I'm up at 3:50 to get my 2 hours in, and we're finished by 7 a.m. And then I've got 2 hours gym in the middle of the day, and then another 2 hours swimming, 2.5 hours swimming in the afternoon tomorrow.
Good grief. 10 to 3. You're at
10 to 4.
10 to 4, you're up. I'm getting up around about that time. I go to the loo, and then I'm going back to bed. Crikey. I mean, where do you go when you go swimming? You've got swimming baths locally. You don't go in the sea and stuff like that.
Oh, goodness, no. I'm a sprinter. So luckily, the sea is... It's not the most inviting opportunity to train, so we use a varying amount of pools. I'm based in Northampton with other Paralympians and a fantastic coach, Andy Sharp, and we use a 50-metre pool in Corby and various 25-metre pools around Northampton. So sometimes on Thursday mornings I'm driving 40 minutes to get to the pool to get those long course metres in. It's very, very important. But no sea swimming, unfortunately. Maybe it's a charity event once I'm finished. But
well, we do an Isle of Wight swim across to Solent. Maybe you could give that a crack.
Well, I'm a sprinter, so I think I'll puff out after 100 metres. I'll be left for dead. It'd be rather embarrassing. But anything for charity.
Well, that's what they do it for. They do it for MND, so, I mean, it's brilliant. Now, when I was younger, obviously, we saw sports on the TV, but not like it is today. And I think I'm fascinated by the Paralympics, the Winter Paralympics is coming up and so on. There's a lot more emphasis on things today. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because it's so much more accessible to everyone. You've obviously got TikTok, you've got Instagram, all these thing. I think it's, Paralympics has been more viewed than it ever has been in its entire life. For a long time, we've been playing a catch-up game with the Olympics to show we are as capable, if not more, because we have to do it with no arms or no legs, not being able to see, hear, a lot of the time not being able to do it alone. So it's fantastic the amount of exposure we're getting, and I think it's really inspiring. When I went to the Paralympics last year, it's such a massive celebration of difference. And also difficulty. I know someone who tacks with his little foot, with his little toe, rather. He has no hands and does everything with his feet. And I actually came away feeling extremely privileged. I've got two hands, I've got two legs, I can think, I can see, I can talk, I can hear. I'm actually really privileged. So I think everyone should really, when they're watching stuff like the Paralympics, they should really pay attention, not only to the sport they're doing in hand, but pay attention to what the process might have been to get there, how they might have started out. Because I guarantee you, to every single one of them, someone would, when they first suggested, I want to go skiing, I want to be a snowboarder, or I want to be a swimmer or a cyclist, someone would go, well, we can't do that. Lots of people have told me I couldn't do certain things, and we've always found a way, because we've always had to find a way around difficulties in life. So no, it's fantastic.
There was a guy playing table tennis, and he was, the bat was in his mouth, and I used to play table tennis in the Isle of Wight League many, many years ago, and I got up to a useful standard. But you looked at this guy and you thought, he'd beat anybody on the island. Yeah, how incredible is that?
Yeah, in his mouth or attached to a strap, he would destroy anyone of normal levels. But, you know, I know people who can swim who have no arms and no legs. No limbs whatsoever, and they can swim.
It's mind-blowing.
It's
inspirational.
It's very inspirational. It shows that, you know, when your mind's actually put to it, when you really actually have no choice, you can actually do anything that your mind's put your mind to.
What would you say to people that are, you know, in that position of, you know, they're struggling and they haven't got the confidence to go and do, but they might have the talent to go and do? What would you say to them?
Well, I think it's very similar to what Beth said. Just do it. Just try it. If you love it, you'll succeed. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, levels of success vary, and people define success in a different way. My level of success might be and will be completely different to Beth, but just try it. There's no one stopping you. Obviously, you know, if you can get help, brilliant. But there's no one stopping you. Let's say I'll use my level of expertise. I'm a swimmer. If you want to just try swim, just give it a go. There's so many pools around. People, you know, if you can swim, even if you want to learn to swim, there's so many clubs available to help. And it's such an easy sport to get into, and it's, I think, probably one of the cheaper ones to do. So just try it. Literally, as Beth said, just try it. There's no harm in doing it. And if you don't like it, fine. Like, I did it. Not many people know my story to start swimming. I did it because I couldn't do rugby and football. My head of sport told me to go swimming on a Thursday afternoon just to keep myself occupied. I did two lengths, just casually. My coach got me out. He says, right, I'm going to make a swimmer out of you. You're going to get to nationals within a year. And I did. And then from there, it took off. So it literally, my journey started from just going on a Thursday afternoon for a casual swim. And I'm now in the top 20 in the world for all my races.
What a fantastic achievement that is, and an inspiration as well. That's brilliant. So look, you've mastered swimming. You're not going to do the long distance swimming. But what's next? What's your next sort of focus on? What am I going to do? You know, when swimming's over. I mean, you can carry on swimming for the rest of your life. But
it's a very harsh conversation, and obviously it's one you have to be realistic with, because swimming's not going to pay for me for the rest of my life. It's got to end at some point. You go past your peak. I'm around peak age now. To be honest, I would love to get into media. I love presenting. I love talking to people, whether it be about sports or ongoing issues. But I'm really finding my feet at the moment. I like to take each year as it comes. So at the moment, we're very focused on what's coming up. Next year, 2023, we'll focus on that. And 2024, that's when I'll start thinking about what's going on. But we do have a plan. But it's not in the forefront of my mind. But
So short. You're describing. I mean, obviously, if you're a footballer, you can go on to you're 35, and then you become manager, and then so on, and earn loads of money for doing nothing. But I mean, the way you're talking there, it's almost over. Sorry to bring that up.
Oh, it's not well. I don't know when I'm going to retire, but you've got to be realistic. I obviously need to develop the skills. I've only got GCSEs. I've got to develop the skills to be able to be successful in my chosen profession. And I think it's all about being real, being realistic. I think so many people have, I hate to push down unrealistic dreams, but you have there's dreams that are huge, but you have to get to them in realistic steps, and retiring at the right age is one of those realistic steps. I'm already a Paralympian. I wasn't even meant to be going to Tokyo. The lockdown helped me, so I've already achieved more than I actually thought I ever would. I now want to get all four competitions under my belt, which is Europeans, World Championships, Commonwealth Games and Paralympics. I've got two of them so far. Once I've done all four, then I think I'll be satisfied. I've gone further than I ever thought I would.
What is the next one? What's the next big...
So today, it's just been announced. The team, the Great Britain team for the World Championships in Madeira has just been announced, and I'm one of the 30 swimmers on it. I've got a competition in Berlin at the end of the month. Hopefully, I'll be selected for Commonwealth Games. That's up to them. It's not been decided yet. I don't know. No one knows yet. We'll find out in the next few months, but it's a dream to compete in my home country for a home Commonwealth Games. So there's lots on. We're very, very busy.
Brilliant. Well, good luck with all of that.
Thank you very much.
And I've just heard that all the ferries are cancelled, so you're going to have to swim off the island. It's the only way you're going to get off.
Oh, I won't make it.
Just before you go, good luck with the media side of things. I think you'd be brilliant. You've handled yourself, and you do anyway, because you do this quite a lot, but you'd be brilliant at that. I mean, maybe you could write a song, so you could do a duet, and we could start his pop career off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think you'd be a great singer.
Well, I was just talking to Beth earlier, saying that I got to grade 4 or 5 when I was a kid, but then my voice broke. So I'll happily take some lessons, and maybe that'll be the thing that kicks
ready
off
for when you retire.
That'll kick off Beth's career when we do a duet together.
Hey, look, it's a pleasure to meet you at last, and it's a pleasure to meet you as well. I mean, obviously, we see you on the telly and we think, oh, crikey, it'd really be nice to sit down in front of him and talk about things. And it's nice that you've come in and taken the time and the trouble to do it. I hope you've had a good experience on the island. Hope you're going to come back and maybe open a few swimming pools, because, believe it or not, how would guess how many we've got on the island?
7.
Wish there was. There may have been at one time. There's probably about 2 now.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sadly. About 2.
Because I know there's one in Sandown, which... Is it Sandown? I can't remember. I used to... before I was really competitive, we actually took a holiday before nationals. We had no idea what we were doing. And I would turn up to this pool in the Isle of Wight, because we come each summer, especially during Cows Week. And all that, and I had to go and find a pool where I did a few lengths, which I found out from my coach now, which were completely useless. I might as well have not turned up. But I have done some swimming here, and we had to drive about 20 minutes. I had to leave in the middle of the day to go and get it done, but now finding out that there was no point in that. But yeah, it's a huge problem across the country. We've lost pools because of COVID on the mainland, and it's a desperate situation. Even our club, I've got I'm nothing compared to my teammate, who's a double Paralympic champion, world record holder, European record holder, Paralympic record holder. There's too many titles to mention, and we are having to chop and change pools all the time because we're just losing them. They don't have enough money, they don't have enough funds. I think it's a UK issue, but especially I've heard in the Isle of Wight, it's a tricky thing.
Sadly. Great to meet you, and good to see you.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you again soon. Enjoy the rest of your time here on the island.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you.